Bergkamp. Perez. Wilton makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp! That's magnificent! The move, and then this, which left Dabby's ass totally stranded.
Everyone knows, of course, the story from Ian and me when I signed for Arsenal, which was weeks before pre-season. I bumped into him on the petrol station and on the motorway. He fell into my arms and he was smiling and he was looking forward to the season and stuff. So it was one in 100 million chance that I could that I would meet up with him. But maybe it was a sign as well, because I really felt at home from the beginning, as I said.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of In Lockdown, in partnership with Camden Town Brewery. I'm Josh James. Today we're speaking to Dennis Bergkamp. For many, he's quite simply the best player ever to wear the shirt, and he did so for 11 seasons, winning 3 league titles and 4 FA Cups. There was understandably a lot to talk about with Dennis, so we've split the interview into 2 parts. This is part 1, and part 2 will follow on Thursday. But as long as you are subscribing to the show, the next episode will automatically download for you. So make sure you've clicked on subscribe, and we'd also love to hear your feedback via the reviews and ratings section on iTunes as well. So Dennis, thanks so much for joining us today. First of all, how's life in Holland for you at the moment?
Well, it's good, basically. It's a strange time, of course. But in the end, I've got my family with me, and the sun is shining, so I can't complain too much.
No, sounds good. We wanted today to speak to you about your time at Arsenal, of course, which fans are desperate to hear from you. I was watching your Legends documentary on Arsenal.com recently, which goes for your career in depth. But there's something you said near the end of that documentary about it not being about you, but it's about the team and it's about the players around you. So today I wanted to ask you about your teammates and influences, basically, throughout your time at Arsenal. And let's go back to the very beginning when you arrived in 1995. And to be honest, Arsenal were a bit of a mess at the time, in a transition period anyway, new manager. And everybody was basically looking to you to try to sort it out. But who around you at that time helped you to settle into Arsenal?
Well, I remember when I first joined, and the first few weeks we had pre-season at London Colney. And the confidence the players had in me was already there. I mean, they were smiling, they were asking me questions, they were helping me in certain ways how to fit in, and that helped me a lot in the beginning, because I came from 2 years Italy where it was very hectic and a lot of promises were made but they didn't follow it up. So it was basically a few lies there. And slowly I was building on that confidence again in the first few weeks. And I always said the English mentality suited me very well to fit in. And there were a lot of English players there who helped me just by being there, but also by talking to me and helping me around the football pitch.
And your first game was Middlesbrough at home at Highbury. Tell us your emotions, first of all, that day, pulling on the Arsenal shirt for the first time. Were there any nerves there? It seems an odd question, but it was a new start for you. It was a new start for everyone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, of course, there were some nerves. But I always call it good nerves, because it was a full stadium. It's great atmosphere. The English league always been fantastic for me, to me, and I think it was a great day for me. And as you said, it was a new start, and it felt that way because, as I said, I came from 2 years Italy, where more or less it was difficult. It was a good time, but it was difficult in a way that I couldn't really enjoy my football, and I was hoping to find that in England again, and that was the start.
What did you think about the dressing room, the atmosphere in an English club dressing room? Was it much different to what you'd known in Italy and in Holland, or was it pretty much, you know, if you know a football dressing room, they're all pretty much the same?
The big difference was in Holland, it was very quiet in the dressing room. It was a lot of young players who wanted to show their emotions, but really couldn't before games because that wasn't allowed. In Italy, it was very serious. But as I find in England, the music was loud and everybody was talking to each other and laughing, as if it seemed as if they weren't really focusing on the game or the training sessions. But in the end, once everyone was on the pitch, then they showed 100% commitment. So that was a learning process for me as well, because it was more relaxed in a way. But they could switch from dressing room atmosphere to perform on the pitch, and that was an eye opener for me.
Yeah, and I guess there were some characters in that dressing room who you might not have met people like before. I'm thinking of people like Ian Wright and Ray Parlour. Tell us your first impressions of people like Wrighty and Ray.
Yeah, well, if everyone knows, of course, the story from Ian and me when I signed for Arsenal, which was weeks before pre-season, that I bumped into him on the petrol station and on the motorway. Yeah, he fell into my arms and he was smiling and he was looking forward to the season and stuff. So it was one in 100 million chance that I would meet up with him. But maybe it was a sign as well, because I really felt at home from the beginning. As I said, not only the English league, but the mentality of the people. And as you know, there were a lot of English players at that time. And I fitted in perfectly, because I understood the humor, I understood the sarcasm and the cynical way of approaching things. And
yeah.
But I enjoyed their mentality as well, as I said, like from on the pitch, on the training sessions, in games, they would give 100%, and there was time to relax around those games and training sessions, and I really enjoyed that.
And you obviously got on well off the pitch, and it, as you said, it worked on the pitch as well, because I think throughout your time at Arsenal, you created more goals for Ian Wright than any other player. What was it about that partnership that worked so well? Because it was new, you didn't have that much time to work on it, and you were creating goals for him from the beginning.
Yeah, and when I realized and I look back on my career, I always enjoyed playing together with a striker who was known for making goals, scoring goals, and I was the one to assist. I always fitted perfectly in that role. I didn't mind other players to score more goals than me. I enjoyed setting them up. And then you look at the partnership and you look at the striker, then you want him to complement each other, to my thought was to set him to get him free in front of the goalkeeper, and he would make those runs. And if you look at every partnership I've had, it was successful because there was a click. You understood each other. And with Ian was my first partnership. And that was, from the beginning, it was perfect, because the only thing on his mind was scoring goals.
Yeah.
And for the player playing behind him, I just had to get myself in a certain position to pass that ball. And then... that it looked easy sometimes, but it's so important to have that click with each other, and I'm happy that I've had that click with a lot of players. But for me, it was perfect, of course, to start at Arsenal, to have a click with Ian.
And you had a season under Bruce Rioch, who brought you to the club before Arsene Wenger arrived. Can you remember your first meeting with Arsene? How that was like? Did you have a one-on-one soon after he arrived?
I don't think so. No, I do remember that it was kind of a shock that they had to let Bruce go, because we had not the best of seasons in 95-96, but I think it was was good enough to progress to the next season with a lot of confidence. But that wasn't meant to be. And that was a certain period was from, I think, the moment he got let off till Arsene came. I think it was about a few months, which was an insecure time for me, because I was remembering the lies from Italy again. And I was thinking, okay, wait a minute, what's going to happen now? So there was some doubts in my mind, but yeah, that they were soon taken away when Arsene came because he was of course the one who had a philosophy that suited my philosophy and was the same, and it suited my game, his philosophy, and therefore there were no doubts once he took over.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
But with Arsene, he particularly loved to coach young players and bring them through in his style. I mean, Thierry was obviously young when he brought him in, Patrick Vieira. But with you, you were, you know, the finished article. He didn't need to do that. So what was your relationship with him? Because you didn't need much coaching in that sense, did you? How did it work between you and him?
Well, we understood each other. I think I mentioned this before along my career, but when I played at Ajax, there were only two teams in the world who played 4-3-3. Ajax was one of them, and AS Monaco was the other one. And at that time, it was coached by Arsene. So, yeah, I knew when he came in, studying the background, that he was a coach who would play offensive football. He was a serious guy. So I didn't consider myself the finished article at that time, but I think he had no doubts of me, because the young players he was developing, he wanted to develop to a player like me, I guess. So there was a good understanding, and from day one we knew what we expected from each other, and that's why it worked, I guess.
So, with Arsene, you must have had a lot of freedom. Did you feel like that when you're on the pitch, to a certain extent, you had a free role in games? Or was he more regimented than that and said, actually, like, these are the runs I want you to make? Or did he give you that freedom?
Yeah, offensively, he always gave the whole team, basically, a lot of freedom. Of course, we did a lot of pattern play in training, a lot of offensive exercises, but in those exercises we got a lot of freedom. So it may have looked that there was a lot of good football and a lot of different sort of attacks, but we trained those exercises a lot.
And you mentioned you got on well with the English players, and then Mark Overmars came in. That must have helped you as well, did it, to have a fellow Dutchman around the place?
Yeah, it was different, of course, because I went to Inter with a Dutchman, of course, and for me it wasn't really a necessary thing. I it's not something I needed, something I was looking for. It just came in handy for the team to have a player with pace, and it worked out well. I've had some good connections with quick players, of course. Nicholas Anelka was one of them. As I said, it, it, it can suit my game as well to have those players who go for goal, who go forward, and yeah, as long as they understand that that's very dangerous and that's difficult to defend for the opponents, then you can get some good good games and good players around you.
Yeah, so you said you don't necessarily need your fellow countrymen around you at a club to feel at home. What about off the pitch then? Who were you socialising with from that team at the time?
The best example is Patrick Vieira, because we got on really well off the pitch. Once the years progressed, I had a lot of contact with players who played golf, for example. I spent a lot of time with Vic Akers, of course, the kid man who played a lot of golf, and Ray Parler was there, which was quite funny. But in the end, you have to understand that you play a lot of games. You see each other every day. Once you're off, and you got some time off, some days off, you wanna spend time with your family, of course. So I think the atmosphere in the dressing room was always good. So the 5-6 hours you spend a day with that team, it's just great to have a good atmosphere around you.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the golf, because I know that you tried to. Patrick wasn't a natural golfer at first, was he? I think you had to show him the way a bit. Is there any stories of him in and around the green? He was a bit lethal, wasn't he? When he didn't know his power.
Yeah, it's a dangerous player. I think he wasn't a natural golfer. He enjoyed the game, but he was still learning, I guess. And I think I can say that I was a little bit further, not as far as the English players, but I think I could beat him on the golf course.
Was that competitive? Were those games competitive? I know you trained pretty much how you played that team, but when it came to golf and you're trying to relax, were those games also competitive?
No, it was just relaxing, and then we had a lot of fun. And yeah, as I said, you got some characters on the golf course, like Ray Parler and Vic Akers, of course, and Paul, his son. So we spent a lot of time on the golf course just enjoying it, talking about football, talking about games, about the season, but also about other things, just having fun. And that was the idea for us, to just get your mind off the game, because as you can imagine, those are busy times. There was with a lot of games during the season, a lot of competitions, and on the day off, you just want to clear your head and have a good round.
And you mentioned Vic, who you were very close with. The two of you often seen together at the training ground, whatever, playing jokes on people and always hanging around. And of course, you spent a lot of time with him driving to games when you weren't flying. He was the guy at the wheel, is that right? Driving you all over the country and sometimes into Europe?
No. The thing was that came a period that the team started to go to the home, the English games, the league games, by plane as well, like Newcastle, Manchester, those sort of distances. We used to do it by train, but there was a time when they started going by plane. So, I had to get there as well, of course. So we went in, like a minivan with Vic and me. So there was a driver there, and just the two of us in the back, putting our feet up and listening to the radio. He just joined me otherwise I was traveling alone, and we had a good bond. We had a good connection with each other, and he sacrificed himself to travel with me. And in the end, he had some quiet time as well. So I think he enjoyed it.
You must have spent a lot of time together over those years in the car. What were you chatting about? What would be the topics of conversation?
Well, for me, of course, because Vic is out and out English. He's he knows the game. He's been there for many years. He knows different sides of the game, different leagues. He knows a lot of people. So for me, it was quite enjoyable to just talk about stuff he knew, you know, which was English, which, yeah, developed me as well as a person. And at the same time, we were talking about the game of the next day, or the game that we play during the week, or maybe planning a golf a round of golf already, you know, that sort of stuff. So it would go every direction where we would talk about.
And talking about some of the partnerships on the pitch, you mentioned some of the strikers, but let's get to Thierry Henry. Because when he arrived and came into the team soon became built around him, didn't it? And trying to get the ball to him for him to score. Did you prefer that in a way, that now there was a new focal point of the team and there was a big expectation on somebody else maybe to get the goals?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was right. And as I said before, I think during my career, I always enjoyed having a partner, a striking partner who would be able to score goals, and I could play my role behind him, or not being in the spotlight was okay for me. I was never looking for the main focus on me. I always said it's a team game, and in those teams you need certain players who can make the difference. You have those players in the back, they don't want the team to concede goals. And you have those players up front. And I see myself as the connection between the defenders or the midfielders and the front players. And there were players who could finish it off. And Wrighty was one of those players. Anelka was one of those players. But Henry was, of course, maybe the best player in that role that I've ever seen. Because it was so easy to have a connection with him, because he's got a game that on every level, and he can be the best. He was the best at a certain time. So that was easy to play with.
And he became a creator as well, more and more as he went on. There was that season, I think he got 20 assists. Did he ever speak to you about that side of the game? Because goal scoring seemed to come naturally to him, but when he became more of a creator, did he get your advice on that?
No, well, if you come across those sort of players, you just realize that they have so much talent that, yeah, maybe sometimes he was thinking, okay, to be the top scorer of the league, it will take me 60-70% of my game. I want to do more because he was that good at that time. And he was, I guess, developing his own game as well, and part of that was assisting other players. He could really enjoy that as well, and in some training sessions you would see him defend like you've never seen that before, and he always found a challenge in the game itself, whether it was assisting or goal scoring or defending, or if people would say that a player of the opponents was very quick, I guess he was thinking, okay, let's see how quick he is, because I want to be the quickest, you know. That's how he played his game. He was always looking for a challenge, always looking for to become better and to show everyone how good he was. And that's ideal to have such a player in your team.
So that was part one of our Dennis Bergkamp interview. Be sure to join us again on Thursday for the second half. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss any of our future shows either. So until then, thanks for listening.